Welcome to Freedomizer Radio on this glorious Saturday. This three-hour time slot brings you the Sabbath Hour with Brother Gregory, and the second and third hour features Team Free State. Enjoy the show.
Welcome to Sabbath Hour. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're going to talk about the Kingdom of God. We've had a couple of shows today. I think I've been on 2, 3, 4 hours today already, and got 2 more hours to do. We are talking about a number of things. The original topic this morning on Blog Talk was, why don't you matter? And there's a lot of different ways to approach that subject, and a lot of people are feeling that. You know, they try to get involved in politics, and they just don't seem to make a difference. The nation keeps going in the same direction no matter what they do, and they're kind of being swept along by the current of democracy. And, of course, that is why most of the so-called founding fathers of the United States were in opposition to democracy. They didn't think democracy was a good way to go. They created an indirect democracy with the Constitution. They did not create a republic. They created the indirect democracy in a republic. You don't really create a republic, a pure republic. You can create a communist government in a republic. You can create a democracy in a republic. You can create lots of different things in a republic to administer the means of government and the methods of government. But a republic basically is from the Latin liber res publica, meaning free from things public. And a pure republic, you are in possession of all your rights. You're sui juris, as the Latins would say. You're Romeos, as the Greeks would say. You're free, as lots of people would like to say. But you're not always as free as you would like to think you're free. And nothing, was it Goethe who said, no one is more hopelessly enslaved than those who believe that they are free. And, of course, that is really the trick of the great deceiver, to make you think that you're making progress when you're really losing ground. An example of that was recently I heard the news say that earning power for Americans increased last month by such and such a percent. Well, actually, inflation gobbled that up. So even though the dollar amount was increased, the purchasing power had decreased. Therefore, the earning power had gone down. And really, they were working just as hard. So what really is happening is that someone is sucking more blood. It's kind of like getting a transfusion, but somewhere somebody has poked a needle into the transfusion tube, and you're not getting the blood. It's going somewhere else, which is why vampires are always looking for a job down at the blood bank, is because they got free supply. And that's the way people have designed their government today, is that you've created offices of power. Men who seek power seek office, and everywhere in every bureaucracy, from public schools to the DMV to welfare to whatever, agricultural extension agents, forestry, whatever, everybody's trying to get their piece. I worked for the forestry many, many years ago, and they wanted me to take a garbage can full of garbage to the dump with a 10-yard dump truck, because they needed to get miles on the dump truck. And so therefore, they had me trying to load this garbage can. I could have put it in the cab easier than it would be to get it in the back of a 10-yard dump truck. But they just wanted to spend the money or we won't get it again. And that's the attitude that you create, because nobody really cares about anybody else. So we have bred this insatiably hungry beast, because the entire government is based upon the idea of creating offices of power, and authority. And as soon as you start down that road, you start down the road of no return. It really is hard to go back. And we have gone that way incessantly. So we're at the point where there is no salvation for the system. The system will implode, collapse. How long it takes to die, it's hard to say, but it will die. And only those who know an alternative and are willing to work towards that alternative will have any hope of success or survival. And even then, it's going to be touch and go. So what we were talking about, why you don't matter, and of course I played on the show that where the actor imitating a governor of Louisiana says, if you don't matter, if you don't vote, you don't matter. That's it. If you don't vote, you don't matter. And he kept saying that over and over again, and we thought it was kind of funny the way he said it. And the truth is, if you do vote, you don't matter. Because no matter what democracy you're a member of, the other people can always outnumber you because you're one vote and they're everybody else. And so 51% of the people who are generally selfish are going to vote in selfish solutions, and those selfish solutions will eventually bankrupt you. And I can give you quote after quote after quote, which we'll give you in the book Higher Liberty, how that comes about. In a pure republic, it doesn't matter whether people vote. They can't take away any of your rights because they're not on the table. But the only way to keep your rights off the table is that you keep the responsibilities. As soon as you start turning responsibilities of government over to other people, you run the risk of losing your rights. Now, the kingdom of God requires that you put some responsibility on the table. But you put it in the form of a contribution. You only put a contribution on the table, never your right to decide. And so this is the difference between the kingdom of God and the kingdoms of the world. Because in the kingdoms of the world, you give somebody else, who you call a benefactor, the power to decide how much you're going to give and how much you're going to keep and how what it's going to be used for, et cetera, et cetera. And you try to create some kind of contract that holds this beast in power. But as soon as you step in that direction, you've stepped in the wrong direction, and you've proverbially stepped in it. So you need to repent and turn around and start going the other way. And that's not going to happen overnight. You know, we've got a 707 going the wrong way, and it just don't turn around in an instant. Kind of like a giant celestial body coming from space in an elliptical orbit. It's coming in fast and it's coming in hard, but then it's got to turn around and go back out again. And that's kind of what's happening with us. And all hell's going to break loose when this huge economic ship turns around, this moral shift in our character. There's actually some very interesting things, statistics going on right now. You know, if you go back to the 60s and crime was rampant, I think there was, like in a town like Portland, there was about 1,500 to 1,700 crimes per 100,000 residents. Now there's only like 500 crimes per 100,000 residents. Has everybody gotten good? No, it's just the way in which they aren't counting some crimes. A lot of crimes are against criminals. And a lot of things, just statistically, they've kind of fudged the numbers. But the reality is, in many places, there is less crime. In other places, there's way more crime. So it depends on where you're counting the statistics to. But there is a shift. People are, you know, homeschooling, home health, growing your own food, looking for alternative medicines. Huge, huge shift in public thinking. Not these big gatherings of flower power and all that stuff so much, but quietly, individually, people are starting to wake up and take back their responsibilities. One of the reasons why is because the government's not very good at what it does. And when I say the government, I'm that government is not very good at what it does. When you become the government, not governing your neighbor, but setting your neighbor free, not compelling your neighbor to give a contribution to you. When you actually just try to learn to work together, then you've got a chance at liberty. Liberty is good because it strengthens your character. And you're going to need all the character you can get. It also compels you to become more independent. You need to become as independent as you possibly can. And you need to gather with other people who are seeking that same independence, but are actually care about others as much as they care about themselves. A common theme you're going to hear from me. But anyway, this vote in the world, and that we talked about the word vote coming from the word vow, and it does. And there are two words in the Greek language that are translated into vow in the King James Version of the Bible. And one of them means promise, and the other one means prayer. And this is really in those two concepts. Now, if you can hold this up as concepts and not words, prayer and promise, how are those similar? They seem so different. I mean, they both start with P, but promise has to do with a binding of your will. Prayer has to do with an expression of your will. And so the perfect law of liberty, the vows and the perfect law of liberty are only prayers that you maintain control over your will. Someone in your congregation needs help. It's your prayer that they be helped. But the choice as to how to help them and when to help them and what to do to help them remains yours until you give something to someone to see to the job. But you only give to them that one time, and you go see if they do the job. Now, the way Abraham constructed his altars, which had nothing to do with rocks, had to do with people, is that you could not hew the rock. If you give a contribution, you had to let go of it completely. It's just like taxes. When you pay your taxes, oh yeah, it goes for Social Security, but then they go and they put an IOU in there and they take it and go use it for whatever they want. But the problem with Social Security is next week, if they do a bad job, you still have to give. In the kingdom of God, you don't have to give. So the governing power remains with you, not over that which you let go of, the burnt offering you let go of, but over the next week's burnt offering. When you let go of that power as to whether you have to contribute or not, you've let go of your rights. When you let go of today's contribution, you've just let go of today's contribution. You cast your bread upon the waters. Another concept that's constantly repeated. Now you just start applying this in your existence and you realize, wait a minute, this is what it's all about. This is the government of God. You know, in the government of the world, when you pay your taxes, that's just like casting your bread upon the waters. You don't have any guarantee that they're going to give you any Social Security, and it's not meant that way. That money's not on deposit for you. That money went to take care of the needy of your society when you were working. The money you're going to get is collected from those working now. That's Corbin. That's your sacrifice. The problem is you gave up your right to decide whether or not you want to sacrifice to this stone or that stone or on this altar or that altar. You have to give in because you are not bound by prayer. You're bound by promise. And they went into debt based on your promise. And so now you're bound. Now, there are ways out, but the only real way for everybody to get out is the collapse of the system. And then, you know, it's kind of, well, I won't give that analogy. It might be a little too gross, but If you lived on a farm and found a dead cow, and he looks all intact, but inside he is full of worms. And when those, you know, when an animal, there was a case in the Bible where someone claimed to be the king of Judea after Christ was named king of Judea. And he fell down and his belly ruptured open and it was full of worms. And he said, this actually took 3 days to happen according to the historical record, but they don't make reference of that in the Bible, but we get the impression that he just fell down and his belly ruptured open. But at the end of the 3 days when his belly was full of these worms, he said, I've sinned against God and man. And because he knew who was king. He knew it was not him. But he was trying to claim it. And no man really had the right to claim that kingship since Christ. And it's funny because many of the New World Order people are actually seeking to be the ruler of the Holy Roman Empire. Not a good deal. The true ruler of the Holy Roman Empire, the true Holy Empire of God, the true leader of that is not going to exercise authority one over the other. He is going to exercise authority over the unjust and the unrighteous. But he's not. God wants you to be free. That's the way he wants you to be. So anyway, this concept of vow, vote, prayer. Well, I've got another quote to read you, and you'll be amazed at where this goes. Let's see if I've got it. Oops, I've actually moved off of it. I'll have to pull it back up again. It's in 2 Peter, and I can't remember what chapter. Anyway, I'll find it here in a minute. Actually, I'll tell you what, I'll hold you in suspense and I'll pull it up after the break. So on the break, I'll go look for that. But it has to do with damnable heresies and the concept of heresies. Now, we think of heresies as something that is false and goes against established religious doctrine. But the word at the time wasn't used that way at all. I shouldn't say at all. It did have some reference to that because in those days they knew what religion was. Religion was the taking care of the widows and orphans and needy of your society. That's what they were doing in these pagan temples. That's what they were all about. Those pagan temples was your social welfare office. That's what it was there for. I mean, Temple of Saturn, certainly. Parthenos is a little bit different. Janus, that was had to do with your peace offerings. Janus had to do with your war department and helping financing the military. That's where you bought your bonds. Literally, that's what they were doing. When they were going to go on a venture, they always went armed. And when I say venture, it was to make money. If it was a mining venture or going to build a harbor somewhere, they would need money. They would need food. They would need ships. They would need men. And they would get men to volunteer, and the men would go for shares. This is the way most fishing vessels go out still to this day, is that you go out, and you're not going to make hardly any money, but you're going to get shares in the crop. Whatever they harvest, you'll get shares. And if they have a really good harvest, you'll make good money and won't have to go back to work till next year. And the captain gets the biggest harvest, biggest share. But sometimes owners get a big share, and the captain gets a share of that. Owners might get half of everything that's produced after expenses. And the captain may get 30%, and the rest is divided up amongst the crew. And that's the way they go fishing. Well, this is the way the Romans operated. So who's going to keep track of the paperwork? you're going to have this big venture to go up to Spain and mine gold? Who's going to keep track of the shares? Who's going to keep track, do the bookwork, make sure everybody gets their share? Temple of Janus. That's what it was there for. What, did you think they were dancing girls? Temple of Saturn. Bureau of Vital Statistics. That's where you registered your birth certificates. Your birth. Why'd you register your birth? So you know when you're going to get your benefits. Those are the pagan temples. Christians didn't use those pagan temples. They had another system, not based on promise, based on prayer, hope, faith, charity. Why? Because it builds a different kind of society. A society that can sustain itself during calamity. That's what we're doing. That's what we're seeking to do. We're looking for people who want to build that different kind of society where you are in an actual pure republic, meaning Liber Res Publica. Again, free from things public. Read the book, Higher Liberty. I'm not making this up. Hundreds of footnotes in there. Read the actual guide. On a call show that I did just before this, someone called in with a rather, supposedly with a question, but it sounded like they wanted their own show, about Buddha. And about, you know, Buddha being really the answer. I think that's where they were going with that anyway. If Buddha was alive at the time of Christ, he probably would have been a Christian. He would have been a follower of Christ. He might not be doing what the modern Christians are doing, but he probably would have followed Christ, seeing as many of the metaphors in his teachings were identical to those of Christ. I'm not talking about the teachings being the same. I'm talking about the actual metaphor and explanation being the same. All great religions come out of Abraham. All great religions come out of Abraham. Muslims claim them. Jews claim them. Christians claim them. It's all about them in the New Testament. The man of faith. What's so faithful about piling up stones and setting sheep on fire? It's because it had nothing to do with piling up stones and setting sheep on fire. He built his altars, his meshechs, I got my Hebrew wrong, but anyway, he built those out of living stones. And those were men who formed those altars. And a burnt offering was something you gave up entirely. But like I said so many times, Levites were not kicking in your door if you didn't tithe the nut. It was only called a tithe because there were 10 families. This is what these altars were. It was a place in which you could contribute to help out the needy of your society and hope that it would be there when your needs arose. It wasn't retirement communities. Nobody wanted to retire. Everybody wanted to work. Even the old people. I just saw two 90-some-year-old people, couple, spry as can be, still having a good time. They don't want to quit. They want to keep going because that's how you bear fruit. Sure, they want help. You know, what can you do now? Let's start thinking, what can we do to create this society for real? Let's talk about that a great deal, but when we get back, and find out what and how the kingdom of God really works. It works much different than what they're teaching you in your church, and you can do something about it. I mean, there's actual practical things that you can do. Here, let's read that quote. We only got a few more minutes till the break, so let's read that and get that out of the way. But there were false prophets also among the people, talking about the past. Even as there shall be, talking about the future, false teachers amongst you. You want to know who those false teachers are? They're all the pastors you got out there now, just about. Now, some of them are starting to wake up, sure. Some of them are starting to turn around. But I'll tell you, there isn't hardly a one of them that hasn't got some confusion yet. And I'm sure I'm confused about some things too. But I'm working on it. And you can call in the second half of the show and tell me I'm all wet if you dare try. Make my day, please. False teachers amongst you who privately, secretly, subtly shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them and bring upon themselves swift destruction. So there's a lot of words that we can look at in that. I mean, you could spend all day just on that one deal because there's so many layers of the deception in the world today that it would be easy to spend a great deal of time on that. This word destruction is often translated perdition, ruining, specifically to do with the ruining of money. It's a polio, perish, destroy, render useless. So you soon become useless. And actually what, you know, he's talking about it when you become those merchandise, those human resources. But what is the damnable heresies? Again, the word damnable, it's actually the same word as destruction. Same exact word. But it's translated damnable when it's describing these heresies. And the interesting word is the word heresy. And what does that have to do with prayers and promises? What does that have to do with vows and voting? Well, it's very interesting that the word heresy, it's actually the word that you see there is heresy, which is actually heresis in the Greek. It's actually translated sect, S-E-C-T, five times, and heresy only four times. And as definition, as a noun, it means the act of taking or capturing, but also choosing or a choice. Heresy is a choice. It comes from a word that is a verb. Ha hi re om ma hi is the whole word. Not that you need to know that, but it's translated choose three times. It actually means to choose by vote, elect to office. So they're talking about damnable heresies being damnable choice. Denying the Lord that bought them. So when you get down to election day and you vote for anybody, now I'm not picking on you guys who still want to vote for Ron Paul and give that one more shot. I mean, if you love the guy, why do you want him anywhere near the presidency? You know they'd kill him. But anyway, I think it's great that he's at least speaking about a lot of the things outside the box. He's still part of that system, and there is no solution there. And if you don't believe me, go read Plan B, which is an article on hisholychurch.org. But damnable heresies is what we're talking about. Destructive vote, destructive choice. And we're not just talking about ideologies. We're actually talking about what you're doing. When you decided it was okay to force your neighbor to pay for your child's education, that was a damnable heresy. That was a damnable choice that was going to bring you destruction. It's not okay. So this brings us to what you can do. But we're at the half-hour mark, so we got to go into a commercial break, and we'll talk about what you can do when we get back. So are you there, Cheryl?
I am. Yes, listen intently. I love your perspective, and it always gives me pause, and I sit there and go off on these little tangents, but in my head, and it really helps me to understand things in a more thorough manner. So I really appreciate your commentary.
Well, that's what I'm here for.
Well, we appreciate you very much. This is Freedomizer Radio. Please join us in our chat room on freedomizerradio.com. You'll find a chat and a player right there on the front page. We will be back after these short commercial messages.
You are listening to Freedomizer Radio, where freedomizers freedomize freedom.
We're back with the Sabbath Hour, and Brother Gregory, we would love to have your comments and questions, so please feel free.
Glad to have any kind of questions that to do with this general subject matter of liberty. I'm not afraid of questions. As a matter of fact, I entreat them. We're the open government, and that's what we believe in, more open government. But we also believe in you're the government of the people, for the people, and by the people, and we can't work out these things unless you ask questions, you challenge us. Most of the people in the world are not going to go the way of liberty. That's never been the case. It's kind of like Lord of the Rings, seven guys against the troops of Mordor. And all these other people become these wicked bureaucrats who, look like goblins and orcs. And to really be the noble individuals of society requires a moral society living in its midst. Israel was always supposed to be a priest to all nations. They weren't be this holier-than-thou superior group that everybody else was supposed to serve. That's not it. They were supposed to be serving everybody and showing them how to do this without exercising authority, without clubbing their brother like Cain did to Abel. But they haven't always done that. And unfortunately, we have a tendency to identify a people with labels. You know, like the nation they call Israel today is about as much like Israel under Moses as Paris, Texas is like Paris, France. They really don't have much in common. I mean, if you go over to Israel today, they have a heavy progressive income tax, which is the bondage of Egypt. They have no just weights and measures. They have not even clad coin. They just have iron coin and a similar Federal Reserve note system. None of that is permitted according to Moses. They don't own their own property. They have a heavy property tax. So they're not entitled to the milk and honey. So it isn't about labels. It's actually about what you do. So what can you do to make a difference? Well, do not forsake the gathering together. You need to gather together with others. And I gave some examples. I raise sheep out here in the high deserts. And the sheep will, if there's a coyote in the field, they all come together. Mountain lion or bobcat or anything like that, they gather together and they all hang around in a big crowd and look outward and press against each other. It's amazing how you can get 100 or so sheep pressed into a very small area. But you can when you have big coyotes in the field. They seem to press themselves. If you try to do that on purpose, they wouldn't hardly fit in there. But they know to do that because they know to come together because they're range sheep. Now, occasionally, when they're grazing, they'll lose track of one another. Now, normally, and we can see pictures of this occasionally up there on the website, of sheep getting in small groups of 7, 8, 9, 10 sheep, shoulder to shoulder with their heads down and grazing. And another group will do the same, and another group will do the same. And they kind of keep an eye on each group. But in heavy brush, especially greasewood or in the sagebrush, heavy sagebrush, where they're feeding down close to the ground, they'll a few groups or one group may lose track and think that the other sheep are there and then suddenly discover that the sheep are gone and not know where they went. And immediately those sheep, when they realize the rest of the herd is gone, their heads go way up in the air, their necks get very long, they start looking around, they start cramming together. When one moves, they all move together as one, and they look for, you know, they're not eating anymore. Now they're looking for the rest of the herd. They've stopped eating. They're not going to, well, eat for a little bit, and then I'll look and eat for a little bit. They just stop eating, and they're only looking for the rest of the herd. And they're just intent on that. And that's what you need to do. You need to gather together in whatever group you've got, no matter how far apart you are. You need to gather together, and now you've got one critical thing that you need to do. You got to find the others. That needs to be your major motivation, to find the rest of the herd, because seven sheep, that isn't intimidating to a coyote. You know, 150 sheep, that's intimidating. That'll keep them at bay. And you put a llama in the middle of that, you're great. We used to put a Mustang in the middle. We haven't done the llama thing yet, although we've got a couple of llamas we're going to try out, see if we can get them grafted in with the sheep. But the one llama is Osama bin Llama.
Oh!
That's we had a baby llama this last year, and so we named it Osama bin Llama. And hopefully we can find him whenever we need him. But anyway, the point of this is this seems to me to be one of the paramount things to do is find the others. Now, if you gather with some people, you want to make sure that they are they're part of the group. They have the same, you know, they're part of, that they're looking for the same herd you're looking for. Recently, somebody was showing me in a video, I think it was in the agenda video, I'm not sure, but I think there was a deal when they were talking about these people in the, you know, striving for the New World Order way back in Days of the Knights Templar or whatever, that their symbol was a wolf in sheep's clothing. That was actually on their shield, on their seal or their herald symbol, was a wolf in sheep's clothing. So I thought, you know, they're kind of telling you what they're thinking. You'd think we'd figure it out. But I guess it was to deal with education. It was a group that was trying to alter the way in which we look at education and stuff. And, of course, that we have a pamphlet out on that, Tools to Fool or Schools to Fool. And that's, they have drastically changed the way in which young people will view history if you study modern history books. And it creeped in gradually. And you should get your kids out of school. I mean, anything you do to get them out of school is a worthwhile project. And so that's why I'm saying every single group that gets together to congregate, you can't go out and say, hey, you want to join our congregation? You want to join our church? People balk at that. I don't want to join the church, you know, because I've been there. I don't want to do that. Well, you haven't been in one of ours. Our church is doing what Christ said. Because if any of us that are in the network are not doing what Christ said, they're not his church. They're somebody else's church. And that's what we're trying to do, is be his church. But anyway, so what you can do is help homeschoolers. Homeschoolers are going to need a lot of help maintaining homeschools and maintaining the right to be homeschoolers. So every congregation should have that on a list of agendas, homeschooling. Even if you don't have any kids in school, you can still help. If you're a grandparent or grandfather, you can still help. If you're young and unmarried, have no kids, you can still help with homeschoolers. So that's what I encourage people to do. Another thing to add to the list, home health. Okay, home health, that's an endless subject. What can you do? You got kidney stones, what do you do? I mean, run to the hospital? I've had kidney stones. I had kidney stones attacking me on the way home from a job about 11 o'clock at night. Finally finished up the job, got the last of the carpet laid and furniture back in, and took off and hit a deer on the way home. I had the pain in my kidney all day, and it was getting really severe about 10, 11 o'clock. And I got the job done and was headed home, and I hit a deer. Blew out my radiator and everything, and having this kidney attack. Finally, I got a hold of somebody, and they came, picked me and my son or daughter, I can't remember who was with me, up, and we got back. What do? Rush to the hospital with a kidney stone? Start drinking apple juice. That simple. Just drink apple juice. Lots and lots of apple juice. Don't do anything but drink apple juice. Ends up dissolving the kidney stone. Didn't get infected. Passed without any pain. And done deal. Now, go ask a doctor what you do. And then wait for the bill. But that works. Gallstones. There's cleanses you can take. I gotten rid of a quarter cup of gallstones. Not going to go into all that. I think we have it on our Preparing You website, which is built by you. Everything you discover, you could put on that website for somebody else. One of the good things about it is you can start meeting the people that are adding to the site and meet them in congregations. We're having a festival coming up this spring in Missouri. We got one out here in Oregon in the end of September, the Burning Bush Festival, which is our fall festival, our Feast of Tabernacles, Feast of Booths. Everybody's invited. If you want to make it a big deal, join the network and start helping us make it a big deal. And start being a part of it. If you can organize a deal like that and make it bigger and bigger, we got lots of room. Lots of room. We got lots of meat to eat. We'll share meat with you. And we can make lots of bread and share that with you. But you have to participate. You know, you have to work at it. So, home health, all kinds of remedies, all kinds of alternative medicines, all kinds of alternative solutions to your own health, better food. Where are you going to get better food? Where are you even going to get food when the society breaks down? We're working on ways of producing tons and tons and tons of food. And not only just food, but healthy food, more nutritious food. And how you do that? You feed the soil, and the soil feeds the plant. We got all kinds of ways of doing that, and you can't cover that in a show. So just for looking at topics, we're looking at home health, home education. Okay, what do you do for your emergencies? You need your FEMA. You're going to call FEMA with the federal government, or you're going to call FEMA at His Holy Church? Because His Holy Church has a FEMA ministry. Faith Emergency Ministry Auxiliary, part of the church. When you might have to evacuate your home, where are you going to go? Are you connected to a network, or are you guys just in a local congregation? You know, your Patriot Law Group, are they all going to help you? You think so? No, you need to have that character of Christ. You need to have people who are forgiving, giving, sacrificing, self-sacrificing. You need to have people who care about your rights as much as you care about your own. So you have to start fomenting those relationships now. What keeps a republic together? If there's no contract, if you're free from things public, there's no public contract that binds you in a republic. It's relationships. Relationships with each other. Now, the mafia has relationships. That's how they keep things going. But also they use fear and force, but they have those senses of loyalty. Nazis have relationships. What kind of relationships are you looking for? We go back to that Christ religion. Now, I'm not talking about mamby-pamby, put-in-hand religion here. You know, pat me on my back and I'll pat you on your back religion. I'm talking about real men, real women, coming together for real purposes, because they see the handwriting on the wall and they realize they're going to need each other, and they're going to need to form real congregations that are bound like the band of brothers in that series, the band of brothers, because they sacrificed for one another. They helped one another. Who are you looking for? People who want to be free or people who want others to be free? Who are you looking for? The guy who's going to panic and run to the lifeboats first? Or the guy who's going to say, well, my gosh, we're in bondage here. We got to get together and help everybody get out of bondage who wants out of bondage. That's what you need. You don't need a pie in the sky, me first attitude. You need down-to-earth, real solutions to real problems. CSAs, I think it's, I got that right. Community Supported Agriculture. Good thing to get involved with. Minnesota. We've got a meeting coming up. I think it's coming up this weekend with people who raise their unhomogenized, unpasteurized milk, dairy farmers, rural people. And we got somebody going to that meeting. I don't know if that meeting is Sunday night or not, but get a hold of Paul in Wisconsin, and he'll tell you about the meeting. Anyway, there's a network of people who are in agriculture that will be very important in the future. Now, I don't want you just looking for them because you're thinking of yourself again, but because you're thinking of others. Now, I'll admit that many people, you know, husbands and wives, fathers and mothers, they're thinking about their children, and that's good. That's part of it. That's what parents do. They sacrifice themselves for their children. But we have to think about our neighbor's children as much as we think about our own. We have to go at this for the noblest of reasons. If we want the grace of God to be backing us, if we want the bonds that will hold during hard times, you have to be doing this now in good times, or you're going to have to learn everything in hard times. And so this needs to be your prayer, your day-to-day prayer. How can we expand the network and bring more people into the network and the right kind of people in the network? Hard times will thin them out. Hard times will thin them out. But right now, look for those who are looking to serve others. Look for those who, you know, these dairy farmers who realize that the homogenized, pasteurized milk is not good for you and are actually taking a risk of producing it. They need you to be backing them up. Same way with wheat farmers and other farmers who are not using GMOs. That's another. Put that down as a help support those people standing against GMOs. Join our seed saver groups that are saving seeds. I got buckets of seeds. I've already sent some out. These are seeds we are producing. And we want to share out more and get more and more people doing that all across the country and networking together in such a complex, intimate network that nobody can stop it. You're the seeds that we really ultimately want to save, the seeds of faith. And those of you who have the faith to follow this path need to start working together, because medias like this will not be around forever. You're going to need to make a living network, a living intranet that is connected from one town to the next, to the next, to the next, to the next. And it's going to take a lot of work, a lot of support, and a lot of sacrifice on the part of a lot of people. I've been on the radio for like 6-7 hours today, and I've still got more to do. you would have to work together to make this happen. Freedomizer is just a little radio station that's making what effort it can. But we need to think outside of our own little box and reach out to the millions of people who need to hear this. Most will not hear it. What we're doing now is we're weaving the network. We're finding those people that are willing to dedicate and are not afraid of small beginnings and are all over the place. And they're getting to know each other. Every news item doesn't go over the email. Much of it is done behind the scenes with people who have gotten involved. The people who are sitting there waiting, well, I don't see anything going on the email network. That's because that's not where it's happening. Where it's happening is in the living network. Those people who stepped forward, volunteered, and other people who said, I'm willing to support this guy. I'm going to pick him. We get two people who say, I think this guy's worthy of support, and we choose that guy, and he becomes connected with the others. And then what he does with that connection, it'll be up to him and them, how they connect farther and make that living connection real. But right now, the connections are broken all over the country, and that's the way they like them. They want you plugged into your TV and your VCR and your DVD and your Walkman and your, I don't know, what all the electronic devices everybody's plugged into. They're all plugged into those things, and they're not plugged into each other. So there's lots of things to do. And one of the things is to form these congregations of records so that we have these little lightning rods that we can connect people with and then redistribute them out throughout the network by bringing them into connection with other people who may not have email, who may not be on the internet, who may be really busy with life, but want to do something too. And I tell you, everybody you add to that network makes you richer. Because it becomes part of the resources. You are the treasury of the kingdom of God. That's what you're supposed to be doing, is not investing in some hole where thieves and robbers can steal it, but investing in each other, helping each other start businesses and make things happen. So I'm getting reminders for all my other calls that are coming up. So that's those little bits. Because we're having more conferences immediately after this. And we're doing this in other countries, too. So I don't know where all your listeners are at. But since we only have a couple more minutes, so let's hear from Cheryl. How's things going with you?
Very good. I'm really impressed with the whole idea of us pulling together. We're the seed that need to be saved. That,
right.
That with me, and I appreciate metaphors, because those are the kinds of things that sort of stick in my brain.
Right, and that's actually a trick of, you know, people sell whole courses in memory, is that they have this connecting ideas with symbols. And of course, that's what I can't remember people's names, because most people's names doesn't match who they are. You know, in the old days when we had names like Speaks Like Thunder, you can remember that guy.
Yes.
He's a guy with a big voice. So, but I can't remember names like Steve and Bob. But anyway, we're coming to the end of another show. But, yeah, I'd encourage anybody who wants to get involved with real living people to join the Living Network and help us find all those sheep who can hear his voice and want to do what actually worked during the decline and fall of the Roman Empire, because we're about to face the same thing. And we have enough time. But we don't have any time to waste. So everybody should get up and get busy with something, because skip the ball game tomorrow. I guess is it tomorrow's the big ball game?
I think it is. You know, I'm kind of out of touch in my particular way of life. So yeah, I think it is tomorrow.
Well, I'm going to be building fence tomorrow, so.
Darn, I'm going to
miss the game.
There with you. I love building things. It's one of my passions.
Yeah, we had a huge windstorm that came through here. It knocked down two buildings in the valley and blew roofs off of numerous houses. And the good news is nobody's house I ever worked on lost anything. So I don't have anything to do. Everybody else out there fixing their buildings today. I saw people running around and buying materials to fix their roofs. But all the roofs I worked on, they're just doing fine. So I must be doing something right. But anyway, it's been a pleasure having you. I always love the sound of your voice there, Cheryl. So.
Oh, thank you very much, Brother Gregory. I really appreciate it.
So I'll let us all go out here pretty soon. I guess we've got about less than 2 minutes left. So do we have to – what exactly is the cue time for ending the show?
Whatever you want it to be.
Well, I noticed the last show that came on just before our show – they were trying to rush and get so they could close off the show, and it just stopped.
I know. I do like to have time to play your outro so people know how to get in touch with you.
Yeah.
And it's long. We have a minute left, so I think we'll say that's it. So thank you very much for joining us, and we'll see you next week.
Okay. God bless, Cheryl.
God bless.
Bye.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.